Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
A big projected budget deficit for California means the end of a short-lived expansion of Medi-Cal for illegal immigrants, and state Republicans couldn't be happier.
People shouldn't be able to come here illegally and get free health care.
Meanwhile, healthcare advocates are calling this short-sighted and mean-spirited.
Undocumented immigrants are among our most vulnerable community members here in the state. And so I think it's disappointing, but not totally surprising that they're targeting kind of a group that has less political voice.
And we're following up on the slow pace of building permits for the Altadena burn zone. An L.A. County supervisor is none too pleased.
I think it highlighted exactly what I've been saying for years, and that is that our permitting process is cumbersome and actually an impediment to building in L.A. County.
Welcome to the Hump Day edition of the L.A. Local for Wednesday, May 14th, 2025. I'm your host, Jonathan Service, getting ready to grab a margarita and take a walk along the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica. More on that later in the show. Coming up on today's Local, housing in Southern California isn't just among the least affordable in the country. It's actually one of the most expensive housing markets in the world. That's fun. Things are about to get boozy at a Santa Monica landmark spot. An L.A. County supervisor weighs in on the slow start to rebuilding in Altadena, and the L.A. Zoo's long-suffering elephants are now the subject of a lawsuit. Poor Billy and Tina. But let's start with California's presently suffering budget. Governor Gavin Newsom announced his May revise today, projecting a $12 billion budget deficit. The governor put the blame squarely on President Trump's trade war and the ensuing economic slowdown.
Best to describe this as a Trump slump. All across the United States, it's reflected in adjustments by every independent economist, by leading banks, by institutions. Across the board, we are projecting impacts because of the uncertainty that have led to a downgrade in our projection. Those downgrades include the disproportionate impacts in a state like California, the impacts on the ports. Impacts that have been highlighted and reinforced by port directors in Long Beach, and L.A., certainly where 40% of goods movement comes through, but also in the smaller ports like San Francisco and Oakland.
In fairness, it's worth pointing out, because Governor Newsom certainly did not, that California spending has also picked up considerably in recent years. So that also plays a part in the deficit. One potential casualty of the sizable deficit could be the expansion of Medi-Cal to provide health care coverage for the state's illegal immigrant population, a program that was just launched a year ago.
$5 billion on a freeze on our Medi-Cal expansion. We're not cutting or rolling back those that are enrolled in our Medi-Cal system. We're just capping it, particularly for those with documentation. We're the only state in the country. Many states have expanded health care under their Medicaid system, our Medi-Cal here in California system. No state has done more than the state of California. No state will continue to do more than the state of California by a long shot.
The end of the Medi-Cal expansion for undocumented residents has provoked a renewed debate around the benefits and drawbacks of including immigrants in health care coverage designed for lowest income earners in the state. And to be honest, that debate has kept up throughout the 1 year of the Medi-Cal expansion, including when the cost of covering illegal immigrants ran about $3 billion over budget. I talked with Maria Elena Young, professor of public health at UC Merced, who specializes in immigrant populations. She said Governor Newsom was taking the easy way out by scapegoating illegal immigrants.
I mean, I think it comes back to undocumented immigrants are one of the most vulnerable populations in the state. They don't have a strong political voice. And so it's a budgetary decision is being driven not by good health policy, not by the evidence on how do you keep your population healthy. It's being driven on, kind of an attitude towards a group of Californians that under federal law to have fewer rights and are essentially second-class citizens. So, I mean, my message to the legislature would be, think about all Californians first as Californians, and what do we need to keep our population healthy? And distinguish that from sort of this, thinking about them as different or less than because they lack status under federal immigration law.
Republican State Senator Tony Strickland argued that illegal immigrants should have never received health care coverage in the first place at the expense of taxpayer dollars.
Well, I think he's going in the right direction. Originally, he proposed at $10 billion, and now he's only at $5 billion. The number should be zero. People shouldn't be able to come here illegally and get free health care. We cannot turn away health care that is going to emergency rooms, which, okay, that's what we need to do from a humanitarian standpoint, but it would be far cheaper than these health care that we're providing right now. And why are illegal undocumented immigrants getting better health care than our citizens in California?
This is far from settled. The May revise is just the beginning of a month and a half budgeting process. So there's a ways to go on deciding the fate of undocumented migrants on Medi-Cal. Stay tuned. I try to highlight housing stories whenever and wherever I can because the real estate market in Greater Southern California area is frankly stupid. And a new study today looking at the least affordable housing markets in the world seems to confirm that point. Our Elsa Ramon has the gory details.
None of the 95 major housing markets analyzed across eight nations in the Chapman University study were affordable, a first in the report's 21-year history.
And I'm sorry to say, Southern California, the LA area, is one of the worst.
California is so unaffordable, Joe Kotkin, director of the Center for Demographics and Policy at Chapman University, says San Jose, San Diego, San Francisco, and Los Angeles were considered impossibly unaffordable, which is a new category on the report.
And what's incredible about LA, and one of the reasons why Los Angeles does so poorly, is not just the prices are high, but that salaries are low. That's not a good combination. We're not creating a lot of high wage jobs, so there isn't even a population that could, you know, conceivably afford this.
Kotkin says there are solutions.
One would be to stop pushing the idea that we should build housing in dense urban areas near transit. 3% of the people in Southern California take transit to work. I don't think you build your policy around that. The second thing is you've got to make it much easier to build housing on the periphery of LA. You know, obviously the Inland Empire and in the Bay Area, the Central Valley. These are areas where you could build for a lot less.
And he says overregulation of permitting and green initiatives are stifling housing affordability.
It's a little comfort to know that so many other major metropolitan areas around the world share our housing pain. But there you go. We're not alone in our suffering. Suffering seems to be a theme of today's podcast. Speaking of suffering, Santa Monica's Third Street Promenade is a shadow of its former glory as one of the most desirable retail and entertainment spaces in all of LA County. The once bustling pedestrian thoroughfare is now plagued by empty stores and an exploding homeless population. Santa Monica is taking a big gamble on alcohol to turn things around. And, you know, beer goggles do make everything seem a little bit happier and brighter, right? Jokes aside, allowing open carry of alcohol on the promenade is a risk, but one that Santa Monica needs to pay off. Our John Baird explains.
The Santa Monica City Council decided to go ahead and set up a permanent entertainment zone along the promenade, which will allow people wearing official wristbands to buy and consume alcohol as they walk around the area 7 days a week and up to 18 hours per day. During public comments, some people went off on the council.
It's a very stupid idea. As we all know, nothing good comes from a bunch of drunk people freely walking around getting intoxicated from 8 a.m. to 2 a.m.
But others think this is actually a good idea, creating the entertainment zone and allowing adults to walk around with booze in hand.
And the ability to have these gathering spaces where we can all come together and really enjoy our time in Santa Monica is just, I think, what it's all about here. And being outside with a cold drink in my hand sounds like a pretty good way to do that, surrounded by friends.
The entertainment zone is expected to be launched in time for Pride Month in June.
If nothing else, allowing open carry of alcoholic beverages should make Third Street Promenade a vital stop for people watching once again. I don't know whether that's for good or bad, but we'll see. All right, quick break here to take care of some business. And when we're back, an LA County supervisor agrees that regulators are throwing up way too many obstacles to building housing here. And the LA Zoo sets new records for having the most litigated elephants in the world. It's LA Local. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Thank you for sticking with us on today's Local. I'm your host, Jonathan Service. The spotlight is intensifying on LA County's building inspectors as the permitting process for rebuilding an Altadena burn zone is off to a slow start. The permitting application process, which is being cataloged on a public portal for everyone to track, has approved a mere 7 rebuilding permits in Altadena so far. For LA County Supervisor Catherine Barger, that's not nearly fast enough. She acknowledged as much when I talked with her today and talked about picking up the pace.
It highlighted exactly what I've been saying for years, and that is that our permitting process is cumbersome and actually an impediment to building in LA County. Knowing that urgency was needed to help people begin the rebuilding effort, we've taken bold steps in addressing what has been a long time coming, and that is doing a unified permitting authority, something that I brought in as a motion. And this, in essence, directs departments to implement within 30 days a unified permitting process, which allows one individual within the departments to basically run shotgun and make sure that they can override decisions that are being made that are barriers to rebuilding. And then I'm doing the self-certification, and it speaks for itself. If you hire a licensed architect engineer, that self-certification, you will get a permit immediately.
The supervisor still has faith in the post-fire building permitting reforms. She's confident that the process they're establishing now for rebuilding Altadena will be used for all new housing construction going forward.
I'm not going to candy coat it. There have been barriers and impediments that even before the fire, I would hear complaints about and have pushed the departments to get their act together. The fire has really put a sense of urgency over it to get it done. And I've said to the departments, you're either going to be part of the solution or part of the problem. And if you're part of the problem, I don't want to work with you. I want to work with people that actually want to address this issue. And my hope is that this becomes a template across the board. Right now, we're talking about in the burn areas. But I would argue that this should be permitting 101 across the county and, quite frankly, for every city within the county.
So yesterday we brought you the story of an Altadena homeowner who lost everything in the Eaton fire and is now trying to rebuild and get one of those permits. Today we put those questions to a policymaker, and we're going to continue to closely follow what will no doubt be a long, tough, and complicated slog to rebuild both Altadena and Pacific Palisades. As you hear from me time and time again, stay tuned. Billy and Tina. If elephants could drink, I swear I'd absolutely buy this power couple some beers to hash up decades of captivity and years of bitter legal and political battles over their fates. These poor elephants. Now a new lawsuit aims to prevent the city from moving them to another zoo in Oklahoma and instead sending them to a sanctuary. Our Emily Valdez explains.
This legal fight has been going on for more than a quarter century. Billy, 40 years old, Tina, 59. They're isolated. Video shows them with repetitive head shaking, walking on hard ground.
The situation there is hopeless, and they cannot survive. Hence the saying that elephants don't live in zoos, they die in zoos.
David Castleman is a former attorney who produced the documentary Free Billy.
Footage of Billy, gathered over the years in L.A. Zoo, paints a tragic picture of the lack of stimulation in his life.
Castleman founded an elephant sanctuary in Cambodia. With thousands of acres, he's willing to take both Billy and Tina at no cost to the city.
There are plenty of people who want to help. This is not something I need to do by myself. There are thousands of people in Los Angeles who are concerned about this, and all of them would like to be able to help. And I welcome any help from anybody we can get, starting with the zoo.
I think if we give the chance for Billy, we will see another beautiful and happy life.
A spokesperson for the LA City Attorney's Office told KNX they do not comment on pending lawsuits.
Councilman Bob Blumenfield, our animal-loving city legislator who's a friend of the pod, if you're listening, the time is now for drastic action to free Billy and Tina. Don't push Blumenfield. He'll do it. He'll go eco-warrior on you. This has been the LA Local for Wednesday, May 13th. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. We're not supposed to editorialize on this podcast, but free the elephants. See you guys tomorrow.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.